Sunday morning worship for July 2nd, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord. Forever with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your faith, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from the 28th chapter of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place your Babylon, the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the seventh chapter of the St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, You shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive under the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin seizing an opportunity through the commandment deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When the angels appear in the fields outside of Bethlehem, they sing about the new baby born that night in the manger, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." About that same baby, the prophet Isaiah said, "His name shall be called, among other things, Prince of Peace." Peace on earth, made possible by the Prince of Peace. Isn't Jesus all about peace? But somehow, when that baby grew up, he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword." What does Jesus mean by this? Were the angels wrong about Jesus, or is Jesus mistaken about himself? Is it not true that Jesus brings peace, and do we not have enough swords, that is, reasons to fight? As it is anyway, why do we need him to bring another sword? In fact, Isaiah and the angels are not wrong about Jesus. He did come to bring peace. And yet, when Jesus says he did not come to bring peace, this is also true. He brings peace, but he doesn't bring peace. How can this be? The answer has to do with what peace really is, or rather, whose idea of peace Jesus came to give. Because Jesus does give God's peace, but this is not necessarily our peace. Once again, today's gospel is a continuation of the instructions Jesus gave to his disciples before sending them out to the villages of Galilee. Like last week, there is more discussion of the strife that will happen in families. We might even wonder why Jesus once again brings up families, probably because it's important. Well, today, Jesus specifically mentions three family relations: a man and his father, a daughter and a mother, and a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and how it is that these people will turn on each other. But why those particular people? Why not uncles and cousins and aunts and stepfathers and grandmothers? Well, I think Jesus mentions these particular relationships because in the society of those times, these are the people that you would find living under one roof in the same household. A mother and father, adult sons with their wives, and unmarried adult daughters. This would make up a typical household of those days. When couples got married, the bride and the groom would move in, or rather continue living with, the groom's parents. And then, when the parents passed away, they would take over the house and the family business. An unmarried woman then would stay in the house that she grew up in, so long as there was a house to stay in. But the point is that Jesus and the sword that he brings, the sword being a euphemism for any kind of fight or conflict, the point is that this sword happens in the home. That's where the conflict is, as close as possible to where we live. The fight takes place in the place where we want peace the most. As we said, to understand Jesus' words today, we need to understand what peace is. You would think that this would be fairly easy for us to do. Speaking of houses and families, I think that when we think about peace, that's where we want peace the most, peace at home. Here in America, we don't worry too much about foreign armies coming to invade our country. It's hard to imagine, for instance, the Chinese army marching down through Louisville, crossing the river and coming to where we are. That's not a danger that we face, I don't think, although many people in the world do live with that uncertainty of whether they will be in a war. But still, we don't have the peace that we want. It's not a matter of armies fighting each other, but the fight is closer to home. The peace that we're looking for is peace in our houses, peace between us and the people we live with. Because for many of us, this kind of peace is missing. How many of us live in houses where there is ongoing conflict and strife, or at least the threat of conflict? How many of us have fights with the people we are supposed to love? How many of us know that we're going to be pestered as soon as we get home? How many of us have to worry about doing or saying the wrong thing so that we don't set off the other people in our house? How many of us lack peace at home? Unless you live alone, which comes with its own challenges, unless you live alone, chances are that you don't have as much peace as you want. Instead of coming home from work and relaxing in front of the TV, somebody has something for you to do. Dad insists that you mow the lawn, your wife needs you to listen to what she has to say, and the kids will not stop bothering you. The kind of peace we want is the peace of not being bothered, or so it seems to me. It's the peace that comes when the wife and the kids go away for the weekend and you are free to do what you want. Isn't this peace? Peace meaning making your own decisions, getting up when you want to, doing what you want to do without any contradiction. Peace being getting what you want. Doesn't that sound nice? Isn't that peace? But then here's our problem. If you think that this is the kind of peace that Jesus can give you, then you're going to be sorely disappointed. As he tells us, this is not the sort of peace that he came to give. Not to be left alone, to do what you want to do, or not just getting what you want to do. Jesus is not going to do this for us. Our idea of peace is that we win all the arguments, or so it seems to me. We win the arguments, and then the arguments stop, and then we get to do what we want. That's what we want. That's our idea of peace. The end to all conflict, especially at home. But Jesus does not promise this. That is not the kind of peace that he gives, especially if it means that we just get whatever we want. Jesus is not here to win the arguments for us. Jesus is not here so that we get to sleep in late, or that we can watch football and drink beer, or whatever it is. Jesus is not here to give us that kind of peace. But then if we're not going to have peace at home, then what kind of peace is there? Is there any other peace that matters? Maybe the angels were wrong. Maybe there will be no peace on earth. Well, that's not the case. Jesus is still the Prince of Peace. It's just that he gives us a different kind of peace than perhaps what we want, at least what we want if we're honest. As we said, the kind of peace that we think, or the kind of peace that we want, is peace at home. And also, I suppose, peace at work, peace in society, peace in the government, peace in our country, peace in the world. It's all really the same sort of thing, I suppose. Peace means that we will always be loved and respected, and when we speak, people listen, and that when we want something, we get it. That's what we think peace is. Peace means winning every argument and everybody else shuts up. But there is a different kind of peace. The real peace, the peace that Jesus gives. This is not peace which with the people of the world, or even peace with the people in our house, but this is peace with God. As you should know, peace with God was lost when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Ever since then, we have been in conflict with God. His will, what he wants, is not our will. We want things that he does not want, and vice versa. But like any family, and God is part of our family because he is our Father, like any family, a conflict of wills in the house, in the family, means that there is no peace. Each side tries to impose their will on the other, and therefore no one really is at peace. No one is satisfied. What's true in our houses is also, or at least was, true for our relationship with God. But then Jesus came to give us peace, peace with God. Isaiah and the angels are right. The Prince of Peace came to give peace on earth, but peace between us and God. That's the peace that they sing about. How that happened is what the whole rest of the church year is about. Hopefully you understand what peace with God means and what it costs Jesus to give us. But today I think the issue that we're speaking about are these two kinds of peace. Peace with God and peace among ourselves. Peace at home. These are not the same thing, as Jesus makes clear in our reading. Where Jesus makes peace with God, he also brings conflict to the people around us. This is obvious because those who are with Jesus, and therefore at peace with God, will now become the enemies of the world. Peace with God means fighting with the people who are not yet at peace with him. And yet this is not the whole story either. I think there's also a third kind of peace which we have not yet mentioned. There is peace also within ourselves, peace in our individual hearts and minds. When Jesus speaks about bringing a sword, I suspect that this is where we will feel the conflict most intensely. This is where the sword pierces our own hearts. While God is at peace with us, we may not yet be ready to have peace with him. We may not yet be ready to let him have his way. We might still want to fight for our will, to fight for what we want, to get what we want instead of what he wants. We might not yet be ready to have peace with God, even if God is at peace with us. But Jesus teaches us this kind of peace too. As he already reconciled God with us, so too he will reconcile us to God. Peace will come to us when we learn to follow Jesus and when we learn to give up our own plans and desires to do what he wants. That's when we will have peace in ourselves. The sword that Jesus talks about is the sword that brings that peace. The part of us that is in conflict with God must be put to death. That's what the sword is for. And the sword will do its work. We will die. But the part of us that trusts in Jesus and is at peace with God will live on. So too, all the members of your house and all the people of the world who have been reconciled with God will live too. The sword kills conflict because it kills those who are against the Father. But it also allows those who are in the Father to live so that peace can take the place of conflict. The Prince of Peace brings the sword so that all conflict may be ended. This is the real peace. This is the peace that we are looking for, and the only peace really worth having. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Most merciful God, Lord of heaven and earth, rule and govern your church and all her pastors and ministers, that she may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word and defended against all adversaries, that thereby faith may be strengthened and love increased in us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, bring earthly peace, not a sword, to our homes by your grace. Foster a common love and knowledge of your word among husbands and wives, parents and children, and guide their love for one another by your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, watch over all who make, judge, and administer the laws of our nation, and preserve us from sinful contempt of good order and godly laws. Give to our authorities integrity and honor, and bless all inhabitants with charity and love. Receive our thanks for the sacrifice given by those who died that we may have freedom. Thank you for the years that you have given to this country. We pray that you would continue to lead us and help us to overcome the problems that we face today, that we may continue and that your blessings may still be distributed in this country, the United States of America. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, strengthen your people to hold fast your word in times of trouble. Preserve them from false messages of peace that do not remove sin. Sustain their faith in Christ, in his peace, and in his life. Hear our prayers today for Tom, Joni, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Cecil, Dee Dee, Nick, Monica, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Mike, Margaret, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Ursula, Ellen, Mark, and Jean. And for Shirley Rothman, Harry Spence, Betty Spence, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Daladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, and Terry Sheldon. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in Christ that we may bear much fruit. Receive our inadequate thanks for your kindness, especially towards all who have died in the faith and now rest from their labors. Preserve us in the way of your Holy Spirit until we stand with them in glory. For you live and reign with the same Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.